Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, another week goes by. Another week we're closer to WrestleMania.
Yes.
I
should sign that slideshow.
And another week where SmackDown proves just to be the more interesting show. Now, whether or not you agree with everything that happened on SmackDown is another story, but by far, it's the one show where you're like actively looking forward to watching every week.
Yeah, which is a shame because now it's a garbage show and we have to stop watching it forever.
Okay, just because one thing happened that you didn't like, and granted, I'm not thrilled about it either.
Yeah.
Of course, we're referring to Asuka losing her SmackDown Women's Championship on
yes.
a whim.
Yes.
Just to really prop up that main event even more as if it needed it.
And as if it actually does that, which it doesn't.
No, it just points out just how little they care about Asuka, because the reasoning that we've been given through dirt sheets or whatever is that they didn't want just a lackluster feeling SmackDown Women's Championship match because Asuka really didn't have any challengers.
Right.
But, you know, and it's already a stat card as it is. So rather than adding another match to a very long, stacked is the wrong word,
long
card. So adding yet another match to this long card,
uh-huh.
they add the championship to an existing match, and I guess Asuka's going to get in a battle royal or something. I don't know. See, the solution to all this is A, not have so many meaningless matches.
Yes.
On your WrestleMania card.
Uh-huh.
There's like a few that are really interesting that I were really intrigued to see. And there's some where like, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
Do we really need to see? I mean, yes, Roman needs a match on the card, but this Drew McIntyre thing feels like nothing.
Right.
That's the main one that comes to mind right now. I'm okay with not having yet another Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley match.
Right.
So there
are some things like the obvious answer here, which weirdly isn't correct this time around, is Randy Orton AJ Styles. That feels like the most, these are big
sure,
names we've got to
yeah.
put on here. Well, and for some reason, they're doing a good job of that right now.
Well, what helped with them is that one promo. They
yes.
really haven't had any other work, and that's mostly because, you know, half of the SmackDown is dedicated to furthering the Kofi storyline, which is okay
matches,
because
yeah.
that needs all the air it can
well,
breathe.
And right now, Randy Orton and AJ Styles is exciting. They're, you know,
yeah.
and they're at this, yes, they had that great promo, that great little sequence
yeah.
together, and they only need little bits, like they got with the AJ Styles thing mm-hmm. with Kurt Angle's match this week. They just need these little
right.
bits to kind of go.
They needed
forward.
That one big push at the beginning and then just kind of like trimming at the hedges a little bit between now and then.
Right. So, as you know, and as I've said many times on this podcast, Asuka losing at WrestleMania last year was the most like visceral reaction from me personally.
It was a punch to the groin.
Like for me personally, that was my like, no, I don't accept this.
Yeah.
You know, very fully invested in like the pure kayfabe status of this.
Yeah.
And I was able to step back over the next 24 hours and kind of think about it, mull it over. And I came to conclusions of like, I'm not happy that it happened this way. But I see advantages. I see things like, okay, if she doesn't lose at WrestleMania, then where does she lose? She has to lose eventually. Losing to Charlotte. Charlotte's, you know, you're losing at the top of the mountain. So this doesn't necessarily have to
mm-hmm.
be a downfall for her. There were a lot of ways kind of processing that over 24 hours. I'm like, okay, this is okay. This is not my ideal. This is not how I would have picked it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the advantages to having Asuka lose to Charlotte at WrestleMania here. I understand a thought process that gets you there.
Yeah.
It's been more than 24 hours now going into, you know, since she lost on SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
And I am not seeing that. I am not seeing a scenario where this benefits anybody.
No.
It makes Asuka look bad. She
the main event didn't need it.
No, the main event does not need it. But it makes Asuka look bad.
Yeah.
When you shouldn't be doing that, it makes your championship look secondary because now either you are, you know, having this be a unification match.
Yeah.
In which case, that's not great because you are again saying like, oh, the women's titles, you know, are a smaller thing. We don't have such great power that we need a women's title per brand.
Yeah.
You know, and we already have that issue in the tag team.
Yeah.
And part of that issue is your roster. Your roster is not 50-50.
Right. And they don't have a tag team roster to necessitate two separate tag team.
No, they do not. Absolutely.
Now, but the singles but is a different story.
Yes. Except you are continually saying, like, these are your champions unless somebody else cares.
Right.
And, again, as much as I love Becky, and I take nothing away from Becky and what she's done, but she has solidified this top three with Charlotte and Ronda Rousey.
Right.
Where they are so elevated as these three that it is undercutting everyone else.
Yeah. Because that's the biggest reason why we felt like there was no real viable contender for Asuka.
Right.
You know, because there's three women at the top of the mountain and they're all facing against each other.
Right. So basic breakdown of tiers in like fighting games. You have S tier, which is like God tier, and then you have A, B, C, D, blah, 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 blah. And theoretically, like, a B tier person should be able to sometimes beat an A tier person, sometimes lose to a C tier person.
Yeah.
Or B should be to B plus, sometimes lose to B minus. Like, yeah, you can chop it up, but basically, you should at some point be able to reach above and really pull it out when you try extra hard.
Yeah.
And you should sometimes be able to, you know, somebody beneath you could do the same thing.
Right.
One of the best things, and this honestly goes back to obviously NXT, but when Sasha Banks and Bayley were having their kind of feud, their turn, feuding back and forth over the title, that felt like it could go either way every time.
Right.
And each match felt like on a different night, this could go the other way. They felt so well put together, and they've done a good job as soon as somebody else steps up to the plate, they feel like they're in that now.
Yeah.
Right now, the women's division is these three at the top tier, an empty tier below them, and then everybody else.
Yeah, I really felt like that, especially this week with a beat-the-clock challenge for no real reason. There was no benefit to being the person with the...
Yes.
All it did was bury Riot Squad.
Yes. By the way, if you're going to insist on this character choice of Ronda Rousey just saying everything is stupid, you need to be careful and not actually have her call stupid things stupid.
Yeah.
Like beat the clock challenges, which do nothing but bury somebody. And when she's like, this stupid.
Another stupid gimmick.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, you're right. that's what this is, stupid
and
gimmick.
And again, you don't need to point out every week when something is quote unquote fake.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
But like, if she was, if you want to have this thing where she's like, I come from real fighting and this is, you know, namby-pamby little kids fighting.
Right.
Fine. There are ways to do that. That's not the worst.
There's ways around it.
That's effectively, essentially what Brock Lesnar's doing.
Yeah. That's what separates Brock Lesnar from everybody else.
Yes. You know, and part of it is it just comes out in the Brock Lesnar promos.
Right. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, subtle things like Paul Heyman very rarely refers to a Brock Lesnar match. He always calls it a fight.
Yeah.
Like, that alone gives it a different feel between, you know, to establish a difference between what everybody else does and what Brock Lesnar does in the ring, you know.
And so you can do that, but there is a line to walk and they're not doing their sprinting all over that line.
Yeah.
And it hits on things where she's like, and this is another stupid gimmick. And I'm like, that's a stupid gimmick. I don't like that gimmick. And so now...
No, and I mean, I agree. Like, there was no reason to have a beat the clock challenge. They should have just had the three of them in a match.
Yeah.
Each one in a match. There's no need to, you know, bury the right... I mean, they could still bury the Riot Squad, but they don't have to, like, you know, gloat about it and do it, like, in a minute flat.
Yeah.
You know? Which is probably what I'm expecting in DC next week when they announced a, you know, three-on-three tag team match between Riot Squad and the three women in the in the championship match.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo. So. Really glad I, you know, bought those tickets.
Well, and the thing is, like, it will, you know, there's this argument of, like, oh, it could be, you know, oh, they can't work together, and so the Riot Squad will win.
Or the Squad.
But even right now, you're like, I don't think they'd risk any of those women taking the pin.
I'm assuming Shenanigans is going to go down in that, you know, they're all supposed to be on the same team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, collision is bound to happen.
There will absolutely be Shenanigans.
I'm going to be at Raw in DC next week. I'm kind of wishing I was at SmackDown instead. Granted, I've got another thing to be at that Tuesday, but I was really...
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it as much as I would be if it was SmackDown.
If it was SmackDown, yeah. The other big thing on SmackDown is we had another gauntlet match this time.
Yeah.
The rest of the New Day was...
Which was an interesting take, honestly. Like, it was an interesting change-up.
Yeah, so it kind of felt like... It very much felt like, oh, that worked last time, let's do it again tonight. It's very sequel mentality, where it's just like, that thing worked, so do it again, exact same.
In previous years, like let's say this was the Daniel Bryan storyline from 2014.
Uh-huh.
Because they had him in a bunch of gauntlet matches in that whole build-up as well. But it always felt like kind of the same thing. I mean, it was only like two other people.
Right.
But at least this time they changed it up, because otherwise they would have just had Kofi go up against four or five other people.
Yeah.
I like the throwing in the tag team element.
I do too. I mean, I'm not complaining about it by any means. I think it was, I mean.
And it was like in the Usos, you know, forfeiting out of respect was just such a good moment.
It was one of the really good things I liked about this. Mm-hmm. And again, this goes to gimmicks. Are they stupid or not? Let's find out. But part of the problem with a gauntlet match is when you're like, this one person can beat these five people.
Yeah.
You know, totally fresh. You have this like ugh feeling to it that they always have to work around. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Like the first opponent or the second one, they'll beat them pretty clean, you know, but there's always gonna be some small packages, some roll up pins,
right,
just catch the other person by surprise that doesn't completely bear the other guy.
Right.
Which I'm completely okay with in that
and
scenario.
And I think this one had a win by disqualification, a we forfeit, and a count out.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that it had the New Day winning by so many different ways, just to kind of like kind of press home that if the New Day had to face five tag teams in a row, one after the other, they would lose. Nobody can do that.
Right.
Nobody. And that's the thing is, like, in WWE, in kayfabe, nobody on earth should be able to beat five WWE superstars in a row. Not even another WWE superstar.
Right.
And so, yeah, there needs to be some sort of, you know, shenanigans that kind
of... Yeah. I mean, I agree. And, like, I'm glad that a gauntlet match, aside from them doing the last 2 weeks, but by and large, it's not something that they, you know, pull out, you know, every week or every month even, you know.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, when somebody is able to pull it off, like Seth did last year and Seth only went like three wrestlers deep.
Right.
Where, you know, but the Kofi gauntlet match and, you know, the rest of the New Day gauntlet match, like they felt special because it's not something that usually happens.
And I would like to see at least one gauntlet match where the person going through the gauntlet loses on the first guy.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, I mean, that's part of the one I was like, because, yes.
Well, see, like, the whole concept of gauntlet match is whoever wins, they're the one that moves on to the next person. you know.
Sometimes,
unless the storyline is around one person.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with this one, it was not. It was like, Kofi goes till he loses, New Day goes till they lose.
Because it really should have been like, these are the five guys that are in contention, that are potentially in contention for the championship. Whoever wins the gauntlet match is, you know, the number one contender.
Right.
That's how the one last week should have gone. And it should have started with Kofi versus, and then Kofi runs the gauntlet.
Right, right. And that's how, I mean, and this is a retrospect, Vince should have said something like, you know, we're having a gauntlet match to determine the number one contender. Kofi, you're in it. You're just going first.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how they would have done that with this one. They could have just done it the way that, you know, like, I will.
This one I was more fine with.
Yeah.
We do have a little bit of a problem here, and it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, because we all know that it's going to be Kofi and Daniel Bryan. We've known it for several weeks now.
Yeah.
But in kayfabe, that was 12 days removed from WrestleMania, and they did not have a title match.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, granted, this WrestleMania above most others felt like, you know, there were other matches that were marquee matches that, you know, were in place, solidified long ago, you know, and so this match they could have played around a little bit longer with. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, they would have wanted this to be like locked down weeks ago,
right?
You know, but this WrestleMania doesn't necessarily hinge on this match, even though it is the most anticipated match, arguably of the entire card.
We do actually need to mention they have announced, like, officially ahead of time, that the women's title, Triple Threat, will be the main event of the show.
They did. I'm guessing it's going to be a unification type deal. Like, the winner gets both
maybe.
Because they went out of their way several times SmackDown to say that, you know, the match will involve two championships now.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
I would have liked,
if they were going to do this, I would have liked a ladder match, kind of like what they did when they unified the WWE and the heavyweight.
Right.
Granted, that match ended up being a stinger because it was John Cena and Randy Orton for the billing at the time.
That was an especially bad John Cena Randy
Orton match. It was.
And we have our pick of that buffet. So.
Sure. But that was definitely bottom tier. I would have liked something like that. Now, I don't necessarily would have liked that as a main event for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I would have liked that at a different pay-per-view leading up to this. You know?
Yeah. On one hand, I am glad that they've gone ahead and announced that. So this kind of goes back to the 2012 CM Punk is champion year.
Yeah.
But we had this year where CM Punk was champion and then John Cena was the main event for like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Where it became very obvious. And since then, we've really kind of started to shine a light on what, quote-unquote, should be the championship match of shows, of pay-per-views. They've obviously, for those screaming at me right now, there's obviously earlier examples, like Rock and Hogan was not the main event when it should have been the main event.
Yeah.
And things like that, what should and should not be the main event. Yeah. And when should it be the championship and when should it not be the championship. Mm-hmm. And really,
there were a lot of years at WrestleMania where the championship was the final match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was more recently where WrestleManias were ended by whichever match WWE wanted to be.
Well, and we've talked about, like, when is it correct and not.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, you know, obviously Shawn and Taker should have gone, career versus streak should have gone on last. I'm fine with once in a lifetime going on last.
Right.
Twice in a lifetime shouldn't have, except for the fact that it wasn't the championship match.
Yeah. It depends on who's in the match and the heat of the feud.
But we have started to really kind of shine a light on when, you know, what should be there and how we feel what should have that coveted spot of main event. And so because of that, and because we have this, like, it's this women's match that deserves it, will it go?
Mm-hmm.
There was going to be this, like, yay, we watched that match, you know, okay, we're over, and then you have a little bit of terror in your heart until the video package for the next match, and you're like, okay, that's not it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad that's just not going to be part of WrestleMania this year, where it's like, we don't have to do this, like, I don't want it to be that one, I don't want it to be that one. Okay, it's not. Good, let's go on.
I mean, and again, like, this is the first WrestleMania main event that's featured 100% full-timers. First time since WrestleMania 27, if I'm not incorrect.
Because
that was Cena and Miz back when Cena was still full-time.
Yes.
The 2 years after that was Once and Twice in a Lifetime. 30, you know, had Batista in it.
Yeah.
31, Brock. 32, Triple
was
H.
Triple H and
33, Taker. 34, Brock.
Yeah, so that delves into what does and doesn't count as a part-timer.
House shows. That's how I count it.
Okay, well, Triple H was doing house shows, though.
Not every week, though.
Okay.
Like, throughout the year, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, Ronda wasn't doing house shows every week.
She was doing most of them.
In fact, Ronda Rousey...
I don't know if she's been doing it lately, but...
I mean, she has... And it's gotten better, I will say. It has gotten better where she is getting to wrestle. Like, she wouldn't wrestle on Raw forever.
Yeah,
but she would show
months,
up every week, but she wouldn't wrestle.
Yeah.
In fact...
And honestly, I remember during that time, they had her wrestling on house shows long before she wrestled on Raw.
Yes, she did do that kind of as a practice. But in this particular case, I think the gauntlet match, this Raw, was her eighth match in 2019 on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Which ties her entire year-long Monday Night Raw record from last year.
Fair.
So, yes, she's wrestling more now, but that is obviously an element of WrestleMania looming.
Well, yeah. And I mean, but we get into that mode kind of, like, they've gotten better, you know, the more recent years. But when WrestleMania is getting closer, you know, you noticed a drop-off of the main event people having matches on the weekly shows, which is fine because they want them healthy.
We also have this element of we're pretty much assuming that Ronda's going to be gone after WrestleMania. And I feel like part of the part of being a full-timer is moving on past wrestling, having a feud directly after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, I talked to you before about, like, Triple H was there a lot leading up to that WrestleMania 32.
Right.
That was a full-time feud going on for way too long, but going on for months and months and months. Triple H was there weekly. Triple H was showing up at house shows. Triple H, that was kind of the origin of the there's two Triple H's.
That theory, yeah.
In part because Triple H was around so much and present and on camera so much on so many shows.
Yeah.
And so it's weird to call that a part-timer, except for the fact that, like, oh, as soon as he lost that title, he was gone.
Exactly.
He was gone for months.
So,
which is what Ronda's going to do, we're assuming.
Well, Ronda has wrestled the majority of the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Triple H mostly showed up around Royal Rumble, and then from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, he was pretty steady.
Yeah, and you also have this thing where you're using WrestleMania 7 as, that's the last time there were full-timers, which is, technically,
even though there was a part-timer to kind of end things at the end of that match.
And that match was so based around the fact that The Rock was there.
Yeah.
What's The Rock going to do?
It was also the match that featured two full-timers, but required the least of those two full-timers.
Right.
Yeah.
That was so Rock-centric, and that's the focus. Right. And then you go back, and you're like, okay, so before that was Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. And it's like, was Undertaker full-time there? Because he was wrestling like 4 months on, 4 months off.
Right. That was kind of the beginning of like the real part. And even Shawn had taken a long time off.
He'd taken a long time off, come back in August, and then was just there full-time.
Right. From August to that end. And then 25, I'm forgetting.
Was not.
I know it was not. It was the one in Houston.
It was Cena and somebody.
Not
Batista. But I feel like it was Batista. But it wasn't Batista.
That's going to bug me. It's like we both have our phones right there. And I don't want to.
My point is, we are getting into this weird time frame of like what is and isn't a part-timer, because is Roman Reigns a part-timer going into WrestleMania? He's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, he hasn't really wrestled a whole lot since he's quote unquote come back.
Right.
Which is completely okay.
Right. And
this isn't he's still getting his legs underneath him.
Please don't interpret this as like stupid part-timer Roman taking away a slot from all the No. Obviously not. But I feel like the waters have been muddied on what is a part-timer. And I think that comes down to things like Brock Lesnar can be champion, which part-timers can't be. That's not how part-timers work, except Brock Lesnar is now, and he's still very clearly a part-timer.
Yeah.
But he's not a...
He's the partiest of part-timers.
Yes. But he's not a WrestleMania part-timer, which is what Undertaker was, where he's like...
Sure. There's varying levels of part-timers, I suppose.
Right.
You know, there's part-timers who only show up certain times a year, then there's part-timers who only show up at certain times during the year at the big tentpole moments, and that's it.
Right. And then you have things like, is Sin Cara a part-timer? Like, when's the last time he's wrestled on a show?
I don't want to do that math, mostly because I don't know.
But he's still, like, with the company, right?
Yeah.
So, is Sin Cara a part-time wrestler? I don't know. It's muddy. And it's gotten to the point where it needs to be kind of taken on a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, where it's the whole issue of part-timers, especially WrestleMania part-timers, has come up from this, all these part-timers taking away, you know, slots from these good, hard-working full-timers.
Right.
Which I feel like, again, was highlighted, had a light shone on it by CM Punk, who was complaining about losing to a part-timer at every big tentpole thing. And it's like, anybody who's, you know, a casual viewer thinks I'm a terrible wrestler. They only see me lose because that's when you put CM Punk against
these big names,
Brock Lesnar and Undertaker and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
WrestleMania 25, by the way, was Cena, Edge, and Big Show. That weird main event.
See, I thought it was Edge, but that I couldn't think of, like, Cena and Edge main eventing.
Well, that was Edge main eventing 2 years in a row, because the year before that was Edge and Undertaker at Orlando.
Yeah. So, I could not remember a Cena Edge match main eventing, which is why I didn't say it.
Yeah.
But I was like, that feels...
That feels like
the right time period for it to be a Cena and Edge.
Weird, weird main event.
So...
Yeah.
Anyway, it's coming down to a case-by-case basis. I don't necessarily agree with CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I get where he's coming from. I think they're very valid arguments that he has there. But... I understand the appeal of part-timers. I understand, you know, when you slap such and such's name on the poster, when you're like, Goldberg's going to be there. People who haven't watched it, like, oh, I got to watch Goldberg being there.
Yeah.
And then you have this, like, well, who's he going to fight? And I think that's a big factor in it now. The fact that Goldberg was fighting Brock Lesnar really helped, because they were off in their own little, like, kind of part-timer corner. It wasn't necessarily destroying anybody's story, like Brock Lesnar coming in and they're like, oh, this Roman and Braun Strowman thing is huge. Yeah. Pause.
Push Braun out of the way.
Braun has vanished.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who might be part-timers now, if you want to talk about screen time.
Yeah.
But he's vanished, put Brock in there, and then Brock disappears and we're right back where we were.
Also, and I mean, I don't mean to bash or, you know, trash a show that people like or anything, but is Saturday Night Live a big enough deal for people to give a crap about Colin Jost and Michael Che? In 2019?
I think the answer is yes.
Okay.
I think it's not in your, like, circle, and this isn't me being
see,
like...
See, the thing, like, you know, you put those guys on the TV, and I instantly know who they are.
Right.
You know, but I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, yeah, but does that many people watch and care?
So, I think it comes down to, they are the head writers of the show.
Yeah.
And they are the Weekend Update anchors on the show. And that's almost exclusively what they do now.
Yeah.
Michael Che occasionally does a few characters here and there.
And Colin Jost just does.
I can't think the last time he was in a sketch
but, I mean,
at all.
Seth did that too.
Right, Myers. Right. Because, again, he was the head writer. Tina Fey was the head writer. it has, since Tina Fey, it has really started to become the head writer's gig.
Right.
It also helps that they, you know, have writer slash performers in that head writer slot.
Right.
They've not had a exclusively I'm a writer in years and years.
I mean, that was pretty much John Mulaney. Like John Mulaney was a cast member who was just
a writer,
not,
but he also wasn't a head writer. Right. Like they have okay. plenty of writers.
Sure, sure, okay.
But the person in the head writer spot has been passed from performer to performer, which is why, you know, coincidence or not, they kind of also helm the update desk now. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is also that Saturday Night Live, the update format has shifted.
Yeah.
And this is honestly, like, you know, however you want to look at it, the fact of the matter is, comedy news is such a big, big mainstay that so much of comedy has turned to news, specifically political news, as part of the thing. Part of that is Seth Meyers has really delved into that.
Yeah.
He took his quote-unquote Weekend Update persona.
Yeah.
He delivers, like, Weekend Update jokes every night in his Let's Get to the News segment. That's not even taken into account his Closer Look segment.
Yeah.
But you also have Colbert, who is, you know, one of the spearheaders of this, along with Jon Stewart, taking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And now he's on CBS doing this huge thing.
Like, it's basically, like, across the board between really anybody late night these days. I haven't watched Conan in a while, but I'm not exactly sure how he does it. I think he's more of a traditional, like,
yeah, Conan's,
you know,
very
do my
traditional.
Monologue, do my interview, and go and move on from
and
there.
Conan is in the Johnny Carson mold, which is very different, very lighthearted.
Whereas the new crop of late night hosts are, you know, very... comedy, political, you know.
The Daily Show has had this undeniable impact across the landscape, and that's, you know, kind of obvious.
Yeah.
But that has...
And also helps that, too, the late-night host came from the Jon Stewart tree with Colbert and Jon Oliver.
Yeah, and Samantha Bee.
And Samantha Bee, yeah, I forgot. Totally forgot about Full Frontal.
So that's stuff that's very easily digestible on YouTube as well. And part of, you know, you have these things deliberately, you know, marketing that way. They have their shows cut up in a specific way that they're easy to partition out on YouTube, able to easily share it.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live is a friggin' breeding ground for that with their sketch concept.
Yeah.
And so they do that with Weekend Update now, where they basically chop it in half. Maybe isolate the, like, you know, guest segments.
Yeah.
But there, here's our Weekend Update jokes. Weekend Update has also heavily transitioned into that political thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back, I mean, you need them to go back far. If you go back, like, to Jimmy Fallon.
I was just going to make a joke about Jimmy Fallon's over here, like, nervous laughing through drinking games.
Well, yeah, but Jimmy Fallon, you know, was an update host for years and years with Tina Fey. And they are, you know... They're basically, you know, goofy headlines, joke about goofy headlines.
Yeah.
There's very little political. There's some political stuff. Like,
it's on, say, like, his show, you don't really hear about, you know, any them diving much into top politics.
Right.
They're more of like, hey, we've got a celebrity playing this fun game type.
But no, but
that's what you see on YouTube more often than anything.
But my specific thing is how Update has changed.
Right.
And it really changed with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler kind of adding in this... you know, because they were the first two women to ever co-host that segment on the show, they definitely added a lot of this, you know, unique aspect to it, kind of flowed through with Amy and Seth, and then Seth, and then onto these guys.
But more tackling, like, legit news stories and then putting their, you know, their own take on it.
Right.
Rather than, like you said, Jimmy just taking a funny headline, making a joke about funny headline.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway... All that is to say, I think that these guys are the face of Saturday Night Live. Kate McKinnon is the other arguable thing.
Yeah.
But Kate McKinnon is also almost exclusively characters.
Right.
They don't have, like, a Kate McKinnon segment where she goes by the name Kate McKinnon.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, looking at it through, like, rose-colored glasses or something. But, like, this would be a bigger deal if... WWE had done something with Saturday Night Live back when like Will Ferrell was there. I don't see people like being awestruck when they see Colin Jost and Michael Che. But again, like they're still in the thick of it. They maybe not have had time to like, you know, position themselves in that amount of stardom, I guess. I don't know.
I think you're kind of looking at what Will Ferrell is now.
Right.
Versus what Will Ferrell was.
But I mean, I feel like especially towards the end of his Saturday Night Live run, like I felt like Will Ferrell was a big deal then, you know, and then he's only kind of become a bigger deal since then.
I mean, this gets into the argument of, you know, when was Saturday Night Live
right.
its yeah, best, yeah, yeah, and yeah. it was always the best. You're having to argue
right.
about when you were, you know,
yeah.
15 to 18. Like,
no, absolutely.
Saturday Night Live, for those who don't know, is the best it's ever been when you were 15, 18. It has
sure.
nothing to do.
Yeah.
Unless you were 15, 18 between 1980 and 1985. That's when it was legitimately the worst.
And if you're trying to make that argument that that's when it was best, you're wrong.
You're wrong. That's,
you're just wrong.
That's legitimately when it was the worst. But other than that...
brief window of time when Robert Downey Jr. was on.
Yes. Other than that, yes, things ebb and flow. There are better seasons and worse seasons.
Yeah.
There are regrowth periods when they lose a bunch of big names all at once. Mm-hmm. But you can see this baton going from Will Ferrell to Andy Samberg to now Kate McKinnon, this, you know,
yeah.
main breakout mm-hmm. superstar getting to pass this along.
Right.
Yes, and there are arguments of like, okay, Will Ferrell was also there in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
which is when they've done the most Saturday Night Live movies. That's right after Wayne's World broke 100 million.
Right.
So they
wanted to capitalize on all their sketches that they thought were movie worthy.
Or not.
or they just threw it at the wall and see if it stuck.
Yes.
And most of them did not.
For those who don't know, let's see. Blues Brothers came out in the 80s, which was barely a Saturday Night Live sketch. It was a musical guest kind of spot.
Right.
And that one,
it didn't really have a whole lot of, like, it had more of a cult hit throughout the years.
Yeah, like, and it was.
But it wasn't a big, like, box office
yeah,
hit then.
Obviously, it was a good hit then.
Right.
But it was, yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly these two guys playing these characters.
Right. Yeah.
They just happened to have done it on Saturday Night Live. Then Wayne's World makes $100 million. Then you get Wayne's World 2. You get Coneheads.
Cuphead is a video game.
Yes. Coneheads, which comes out in 93, even though it's based off a sketch from the 70s.
Wow.
You get It's Pat, you get Stuart Saves the World, you get Superstar, you get Night
Pat
at the Roxbury.
Wait. Pat had her own
yeah,
movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember
it's
that.
It's Pat. yeah, you get that one. You get Night at the Roxbury.
Right.
I'm sure I'm forgetting something. You get Blues Brothers 2000. They made a sequel to Blues Brothers.
They had John Goodman in that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ladies Man was kind of the final one.
I forgot they gave Ladies Man a movie.
Yeah,
wow.
And that basically that Ladies Man did bad enough that they stopped mm-hmm. doing it until MacGruber, which then did bad enough that they just stopped.
Right.
And MacGruber,
and then from that point, the people who were in SNL would do movies that Lorne Michaels would executive produce,
right.
but they weren't based on SNL skits.
Right.
Yeah.
And MacGruber,
it's like Tina Fey's movies.
MacGruber had wrestlers in it, so this has technically been about wrestling the whole time.
Whew.
Boom.
So what you're saying is Will Forte should be in the Battle Royal.
I mean, yes, he would be a great pick as well.
Okay.
But no, I think these guys and also, like, they were on this week on the set of Saturday Night Live, like, the
right.
famous set of Saturday
right.
Night Live.
Right, that helps add kind of validity, I think.
Yes.
If there were people who watched Raw who didn't really care or know much about Saturday Night Live, except for, you know, it being big in the past.
Yeah, it helps that this is wrestling versus Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. more than just, like, wrestling versus Colin.
Yeah.
So kind of having, with Michael Che being there, with them having the, it kind of has this Saturday Night Live backing to it
yeah.
that I think helps. And then if it's going to be wrestling versus Saturday Night Live, I think right now, yeah, these are the two mm-hmm. kind of names to put there.
Also, it is also a weird choice when you've got Bobby Moynihan on SNL, who is a legit giant wrestling fan.
Well, Bobby Moynihan's not on SNL anymore.
He's not?
No.
Oh my God. See, this shows how much I... See, pay attention lately.
You don't watch SNL, which is why you don't know what a big deal these guys are.
How long has he been off?
Oh, he's been off a while now.
Well, that's sad. He was the bread guy from Mystery Team.
Have you not seen him in anything recently?
There was a sitcom-ish thing that like, yes, that ended very quickly.
That's why he had to leave Saturday Night Live, because he was going to film the sitcom.
That did not do well, and I don't know what he's been doing since. Well, except for being a voice on DuckTales, which is fantastic.
He's busy. I'm just saying, you've not seen him in a Saturday Night Live sketch recently.
Wasn't he a men's rights activist in Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah, that was Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay. All right. He has done things. Good for him.
He has done things. He's fine.
Well, he should show up at the Battle Royal too. Why not?
Also, in my opinion, this is a great way, if you're going to do the celebrity guest, if you're going to try and keep doing that,
throw them in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, that's great. They don't have to have their whole thing. Mm-hmm. You fill up the time on Raw you need to fill up.
Because honestly, like, they haven't talked much about the Andre this year. It's probably going to be on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Which, like, last year, but it just felt like this is going to be one of those down years for the Battle Royal. They haven't even mentioned the Women's Rumble, or the Royal, or Battle Royal, whatever.
Yeah.
They haven't even mentioned the Women's at all.
They might let that go away.
They might let it go away, or they might be, like, low-key trying to call it, you know,
They're not going to try and go back to Moolah.
They're going to announce it. Like, literally right before, like, and now it's time for the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal. And, like, don't give it any sort of, you know, fanfare ahead of time. Just boom, boom, boom. No. There's a winner. The end. Let's move on.
No, I don't think.
Especially now that they announced that they have a long-term WrestleMania sponsorship with Snickers now.
So what are you going to do about it? You already sponsored us long-term. No, I don't think they're going to. They don't care enough about, like, if they were having troubles with, like, the name McMahon,
yeah,
they would obviously be like, we're doing it anyway.
I still think they should have named it the China Memorial Battle Royal. Like, come on, like, if you need a legend to name it after, bam, she's going in the Hall of Fame this year with DX.
Yeah, but then people might, you know, Google her and blah, blah, blah.
It can't be any worse than when you Google Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah.
Everything China did, except for the drugs, was legal.
Yes, I think. I won't swear. But anyway, the point is, get it back. Here we go.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman is pretty much guaranteed to be the winner of the Battle Royal this year.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a nice, like, consolation prize for him not being in a meaningful match.
Anything.
And B, for, you know, being in a match with a kid last year. Like, this is a definite, like, we owe you one, pal.
Well,
like, if last year wasn't a we owe you one, this one definitely.
Yeah, part of
like
it is like,
we owe you two.
Yeah, they definitely do. He's definitely gotten the, you know, you're important and you carry this company until WrestleMania season, and then we don't need you.
Right.
He had, and again, like,
because honestly, like, I wasn't sure what he was going to do at WrestleMania before Roman even came back, you know? So I can't even be like, you know, all Roman's coming back. Let's, you know, push Braun Strowman, you know, back a few notches. It's not even that. Like, I legit just didn't know what they were planning to do with him before Roman ever came back.
Yeah. Well, and what we have, like, I will 100%, like, to this day, go to bat for, like, I was 100% behind this, you know, tag team match from last year.
Yeah.
I thought the kid thing was funny. Braun Strowman came out of that. Like, I just enjoyed the whole aspect of it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he got to beat a tag team single-handedly. So, like, he didn't look weak doing
anything,
this comedy
sketch. It made the bar look a little weak.
It didn't make the bar look great, but the bar's going to be fine.
They also came out in Mardi Gras floats.
You know, but now here we are a year later, and I'm like, he's again in the comedy match.
Yeah.
With the comedians.
Literally with the comedians, who keep calling the show fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more okay with them doing it, though.
Because they're outsiders. They're not in the business. Like,
right.
It could just be like, oh, they don't know they're not in the business. Well, Ronda's been in the business for over a year now.
Yes.
She knows better.
She also has come in as a character who is excited to be here.
Sure.
Who has wanted to do this for a long time. This has been her dream. That's how
it's been pitched to us.
And
now it's
getting
frustrating, so she's turning the corner.
I mean, Colin has come in as this, like, snooty, I have to do this for the PR, you know, Saturday Night Live's making me do this, and it's stupid because it's fake, and has, you know, gotten beaten up for it. So, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else major that we need to cover?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we're good. We are planning on doing a stream next week.
Yes.
During WrestleMania weekend. We're still ironing out some details. But we are still planning to do it Friday.
I think so, before NXT.
Before NXT. We're just working out exactly what we're going to do. So we're about to get in the plugs now. Just, you know, make sure, just keep an eye out on our Facebook. That's where we make most of these announcements.
Yes. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate.
Yep. And if you are... If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of interaction helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.